The following conversation was with Rabbi Yoni Fisher, and this is one of the absolute legends in my field of helping people. He is the Rosh Yeshiva of Fisher's Yeshiva in Osher Matityahu and all the other programs that are connected to it. This is a man who, when he sees a need, he fills it. He has such an incredible loyal Talmidim and connection to his people, the amount of love and compassion that's coming off of this man is amazing. The conversation we had was about everything, but mainly like just trying to figure out what works, what's the issue, how do we help? Just a conversation of beauty. It was one of my favorite conversations I've ever had, and it's one of the reasons this podcast exists. For these conversations, I'd like to ask everybody to please like and follow, subscribe. I also want to say a special thank you for all the people that are listening to that, because we are now over 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. So thank you so much, and I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did.
Hello and welcome to the Brainstorm Podcast, and now your host, Sonny Perlman.
We're live.
Okay.
Okay. I am so excited. Okay. So let me say what I said before.
Okay.
Is that, and this is going to be not nice to other people, but after Rabbi Kalish,
yeah,
meeting with you is one of the things I've been most excited about.
Thank you.
Mostly because, first of all, we're cousins and it's very exciting.
Right.
To sit down and actually talk. When you have two busy cousins, they never talk to each other.
Right.
Especially when they're helping everybody. I was saying also, like, it's the only way to sit down and have a conversation with people that are doing the work and is to have a podcast. That's the only way. Otherwise, we're helping everybody else. That's my thought.
I like that.
But also, you've been in this so long, and I don't know if you remember, like if you look back at all the people, how many people are like in real estate and like have moved on from working with I don't know what to say.
Right, right.
What are we working with?
People.
People. Right. Working with the people that have, you know, like haven't agreed with the straight and narrow, have taken a windy road instead of the straight road. Okay. I think that's the way I seen it. Now, anyway, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Sonny.
Thank you for coming. This is very, very exciting.
Thank you. Likewise.
So let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Okay. So it's an overall question.
You know?
The overall question is this. Is there something going on, like an over, like, is there something really big that's happening that the regular system is not working? In a set, I'm saying this from my own personal experience, but I really want to hear from your view of this. But that even there are people going through the system, and this is not like a yeshiva question, like whether it's a yeshiva. I think this the Orthodox Jewish world is way bigger than just yeshivas. Like we like to blame it on one thing, but like in the like what is going on that we have to have people that are revolutionizing and figuring out ways to broaden the derech. I'm saying, yeah, I've heard you actually quote
right, the wide Ronnie Greenwald.
Greenwald,
right?
Who I wide also was very there. Close with.
Really?
Yeah. Ronnie was one of the great legends of all time.
Yeah,
I have a great story of Ronnie Greenwald. Can I tell you a great story?
Yeah,
of Ronnie
please.
Greenwald?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll take a quick tangent.
Yeah.
He said he was going on the Muncie bus. And they have a men's section and a women's section on the Muncie bus.
Wow.
So, yeah, very, very religious. And so, you know, if the men's section was full, so Ronnie just sat in the seat behind with the last woman, whatever. So he sat on the woman's side because Ronnie's fine. And somebody took the mechitza and threw it behind Ronnie's seat.
Nice.
Like Ronnie was in with the ladies now. Right. You know what I'm saying? So now he's Ronnie with the mechitza. And then there's a couple different versions, because what he told me is that some guy, Chassidish guy, came on and was walking past, and he just grabs his foot from under the mechitza like he was one of the women and doesn't let go. Ronnie was very strong. And he just, hey, the guy's freaking out. Anyway, someone told me the story. Someone told me later that the story was he knew the guy and he was
chaperoning.
I like it better that it's Ray.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, so it's okay. I think it's bigger because I think this is the first time in history, in Jewish history, that we're trying to stem the flow of people going out into the world. Like before, I believe most of the time we were like, you don't want to be part of this club? Have a good day. We're holding him back, trying to keep the forces together, keep everybody inside on some level. I'm wondering if you think, because now I'm dealing with mental health issues and addiction issues and all these issues, is there something going on in the wider world? Or what do you think is going on? What is the issue?
Man, I love that.
Huge question.
I love that question.
You got the floor.
I love that question. Yeah, I I'll tell you what's coming up for me.
Okay.
First of all, like you said, Sonny, it's just nice to connect with you, but it's nice to connect, as you said, like this is not something that's new for me or new for you, like having this conversation, even though we haven't had a conversation practically in a long time, but it's almost like, we're in our own, it's like a language. Almost like you speak a certain language and then you meet that person. And you're like, yeah, you're able to communicate.
Right.
So it's, I feel very blessed to be sitting here. And I'm not just saying that lightly. I just feel blessed, to be in this, world right now. I feel like I live in that world, in this world, which I'm going to explain in a second, which I think might answer your question. I think that it really comes from us, and obviously you could ask or challenge, or not so much challenge, maybe bring out the point more. Like, I think it's about really tapping into oneself. It's really like deeply, it's not like what's going on out there as much as it's what's going on in here. And when you're asking like what's going on in the world, like I look at it as like, I mean, Chazal say this, that an Adam is an Olam Katan, you know, that we really like represent the world within who we are. And I think that what's going on and what's been going on is this, we're going deeper in connecting with ourselves in a real, real deep way. I can't answer it like so simply to say like we're post Holocaust, we're post survival in a certain way. And it's sort of like a gift from Hashem. Like I don't look at it so much as far as like anything, I mean, not so much like negative. It's like, it's the most beautiful thing that we are, that me and you, like these, like I'm a 80s boy. I'm like just a regular American guy, that I'm like able to like, tap into like me. Tap into Yoni, like tap in to my world, into myself. I don't look at it in terms of like, you know, there's a system and there's the yeshiva guy and there's, you know, the Orthodox world. It's like there's something so beautiful that I think, yes, it shows itself in addiction. It shows itself, or maybe it's sort of like is that little kid who's knocking on the door. So it comes up as addiction. It comes up of going off the derech, whatever that even means. Like it comes off as like, so are you in the system or you're not in the system? But it has nothing to do with that. I think that that's all just very, superficial, to just say the least. It's, right. It's a very, very superficial. It's all about like we're really one of the tzaddikim. I think the, I really should get my phone for this. Yeah, maybe because I'm gonna new. Yeah, I'm gonna get my phone just for some quotes.
You should always have your phone.
Yeah, no, right. There are some quotes that I will probably reference. Sorry about that. So, the, like, I'll actually give him that shout out because he deserves it. Ari Garfield, one of the guys in Yeshiva, incredible guy, special guy. So he sent me this, and I, from the Kutzker Rebbe, and then Sani, you could ask me on this. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I just want to get the quote.
I have a lot of thoughts so far.
Yeah. I'm right. Sure. I know. I'm sure. And I here, where is it? The quote from the Kutzker Rebbe, right? The Kutzker Rebbe said, and this is so like where we're at. So it's funny that you said, like, now people are accustomed to look at the heavens and to wonder what happens there. It would be better if they would look within themselves to see what happens there.
Mm.
The Satmar Rebbe said, believe it or not, the Satmar Rebbe said, when man landed on the moon, and I always connect the two when, you know, when I reference this, the Satmar Rebbe said, like, what's man doing? Everyone was, the world was going crazy. Man, he's like, what's man doing on the moon? We got to live here. We got to figure out how to live here.
What are you doing?
So it's like, what are you doing? Like, okay,
they
great.
They asked this question, by the way, like the marine biologists are like, you're going to the moon to find aliens. We still don't know 97% of the fish.
Right. Exactly. Or right. Us. That. So I think that I feel blessed. I really feel blessed. I think, and obviously it's a segue to talk more. Like, I never looked at, let's say, like addiction. You know, I always said, like, I must have in my previous Gilgal been like an addict, because like I so connect to people who really like deeply feel a void, or they're whatever, not getting into, you know, you know that's your specialty. Right. You know that much better than I do. But like, I don't know, like I connect with people who are looking in. I connect very much to people who are like the Kutzker, like why are we, another line I think from the I think, and then I'm sure you have what to ask or comment. I think we're either the Rabbi Salsa, I could find any quote that I'll say, by the way. So if anybody who will watch this or listen to this will say, like, okay, he just made up something, it's fine. Right. I'm confident that I'll be able to.
It's there somewhere.
No, I know. It'll be a page in a book somewhere that I saw it, so I'm good. But the concept is good either way. I don't need to, you know, it doesn't bother me to quote or not. It makes sense. One of the, I think either Rabbi Yisrael Salanter or the Alter from Kelm says, it's not about believing. People are into knowing Hashem and figuring out Hashem and believing in themselves. He's like, no, it's not about that. It's about believing in God and getting to know yourself.
Mm.
Knowing yourself. That's what life's about. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I think, says it. He says, how could it be? How could it be I lived on this world for 75 years, 100 years, and I never got to know myself? So I don't look at anything that we're doing or anything that... This yeshiva, that yeshiva, blah 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 blah. I don't know what. I'm not in a bad way. I don't know what everybody's talking about. Like that which is most personal is most universal.
Right.
Right. Carl Rogers.
Right.
You know, Lahavdil. Carl Rogers. That which is most personal is most universal. Who's not struggling? Give me any yeshiva, from Panovich, all the way down to, again, I'm being very, you know, all the way down to whatever.
Right. Okay, right? So I was sitting once with Simon Jacobson, which hopefully, I think, is supposed to come in tomorrow, so I'm excited.
Wow. Okay, great.
But I was sitting with him, and he was explaining to me the time of Mashiach. Is a time of Mashiach, the challenge will be that we have all the freedom in the world to choose Hashem or not choose Hashem, meaning it will not be a time where we're forced to, like, okay, you're stuck in a shtetl. If you want to stick in with your family, then you do Hashem. It's going to be what you said, the post-survival life.
Right.
We will have to choose. I see it as like the Maslow, you know, the Maslow hierarchy of needs.
Right.
Like, all of our needs are taken care of.
Right.
Now, what are our wants?
Right.
The question of our generation is, how do we self-define? How do we become more? And what interesting thing, I explain addicts like big babies. That's how I like to explain it, which sounds insulting, but every addict knows what I'm talking about.
I'm a big baby too.
Right. So if you understand, there is nobody making real change in this world that's not an addictive personality.
Right, exactly.
And the reason is because the question of an addict, there's a question. The question is, it's not fair. Right. Isn't it supposed Correct. To be perfect?
Correct.
And we're like, grow up. The world's not fair. But an addict or the highly sensitive person or the person who feels the pain in the world is like, nah, something is supposed, we're missing something because everything is supposed to be perfect. So babies say this and we say, grow up. An addict never leaves that. They like, I want it to be good. If someone's suffering, they need to be better. If I'm suffering, why? Why am I suffering?
Right.
It's a question that adults stop asking themselves
right.
because they move on.
But see, I don't think, I'm sorry, I don't think people move on. I don't.
That's what I'm saying. The more you don't move on.
I think that people are hurt. I think that, there's a lot of hurt. And there's a lot of hurt. And I think that that's really where it begins and where it really ends. And even without even bringing in Hashem, you know, like I always say this, like Hashem, you know, one of my favorite lines, you know, is don't, this is for children, but I've like modified it. Like you'll hear it. Like, don't it, like I could attach it to everything. It's don't, I tell this to parents, don't push Hashem in your child's heart. Bring your child into your heart. And if your heart has Hashem, your child will find Hashem in your heart. Don't push again. Don't push God in your child's heart. Bring him into your heart.
Right.
And if God is there, which he is, then your child will find, you know, because many parents, they got to do this. They got to, like, you're living as an Orthodox, whatever that means. You're living as an Orthodox Jew. Of course, your kid is going to want to be an Orthodox. Just bring him into your heart. Now, then I like, right. then I put that to anything with Hashem. Don't Hashem. And again, we're talking to, like, you know, let's assume Orthodox people who know, you know, who just have been in the culture of Torah and Shabbos and that. So, you know, we're not talking to Bali Tshuva, who maybe that might be a whole different conversation. They don't know right. anything about God or Judaism or stuff like that. I'm saying, like, bring yourself into your heart.
Right.
Bring, you stop what I'm saying? I try and stay away. Like, I say this even in yeshiva, like, I don't push the agenda. Like, you're in yeshiva. I don't have to push. I saw Chassam Sofer. Someone told me that Chassam Sofer says this. He says, once someone learns Torah, like, Torah is okay. That doesn't need you to control the Torah to the person. The person connected to Torah, the Torah will have a beautiful relationship with the person. And I see that so clearly. Like when you learn to have a relationship, the Mesillas Yesharim says it, Gam hu mesug ha'oyhavim. The Mesillas Yesharim says that God is also a relationship. When he said that, I was like, that was a game over. That was like mic drop, as they say, Mesillas Yesharim. God is also a relationship. So do you have a good relationship with yourself?
Mm.
You have a good relationship with your spouse? You have a good relationship with people? And then that'll just shift over. We bypass. So I think our generation a little bit, that I'm sorry, like you got me when you were saying that thing with God. Whenever like people like, and again, I'm a God-fearing Jew. I work on my Yiras Shamayim. I love Hashem. I have a relationship with Hashem. But when the hurt and the suffering and the pain, when we're able to really be there, and I think that that's really where it begins and where it ends, because when we do that, that's when Hashem is like there. He's holding that. He's like there. You just got to like wait till you go through that, and then you'll find Hashem. You'll find Hashem like when you go in there, because that's there. Really, when you go in there, people are into, I made up this line, Sonny, I think you'll all like right, it,
let's hear it. Let's
Hashem.
Hear.
It's not about moving on. Everyone's into moving on. It's about moving in. Stop moving on. Everyone's got to move. Go move on. You're already 18 years old. You're already 20. I had a guy, you want to hear how far it goes? I had a kid who lost his father when he was, 13. He lost a parent. No matter how old you are, you lose a parent. It's pain. It could take you years to, it's not, I told that to someone. I just saw someone in the airport. He said he lost his mother, who is 98 years old in Israel. He was on the plane coming back from Shloshim. The guy must have been in his 70s.
Right.
He's like, I lost my mother. And I said to him, he was in Shloshim. I said, it's your mother. You're a son. And he got like teary-eyed.
Sure.
So I'm like, there's no You can't say like, oh, you're this age. So you got, someone told this guy who lost his father as a kid, told him when he was like 18 years old or 20 years old, actually struggled with addiction, this guy. Great guy, tzaddik of a guy, very close with him. And the guy said, you know, I think it's time to get over it, move on. Like, okay.
Like who that are guy? These
yeah, exactly. I was like, what the? Who could people? Say something so? Right. And I know they meant well, and I'm not judging the person who said it. I don't know. Right. I'm not judging anyone. I'm saying, no, move in.
So I have this thing that at Har Sinai, we're talking to Hashem. It's like the most intense experience. I was telling you the mashal before.
Right,
about,
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. We could talk about that also, but the most intensive experience. And then I think Rashi says, like, what's the experience for the Jews? The Jews were fully united.
This expression, right? Yichan sham k'neged har.
Right. So
right.
You're like, isn't this a God people
exactly.
thing?
Exactly.
Why is it
exactly.
about?
Exactly. I love that.
Like you're saying,
I love that.
That's, this is where God.
That's where
is.
It is.
Inside when
inside
we find
me
it.
And right here.
Right.
What do they say? I heard that line once. I forgot who this is from. I could find it for the
right.
You're looking for your friend and you're looking for Hashem, you're looking for God, but you're looking for your friend, you're looking for yourself. That is where God is.
That's where God
that
is.
That is where God is. How great is that?
That's
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Vayichan sham, he's there.
Yeah.
Don't push him into your heart. You're there. Don't push him into the heart. You don't have to push his heart. He's there. He's at the Shabbos table. You know, like I tell my guys, Shabbos table. Have your children look up by, you know, always say this little kid, like looking up at his mother and his father and seeing the love of a mother and a father. Feeling the warmth. You know, the windows are, you know, it's cold out. So you have the, you know, the frost on the window and your little kid, the heat's on in the house. It smells good. No guests. It's good not to have guests sometimes. And just you're sitting with your kid and your children see you looking at your wife, not just singing Eish Yischaiel in a Eish Yischaiel. It's deep and you're connecting. That's, you can tell me that's not Hashem? Singing a Zemer with
maybe
your kid?
Maybe it's the Regish one. The Regish one is
yeah,
better.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Right. I actually do. We have a.
There's a better one.
Yeah.
Because it goes, Eish Yischaiel
me. Right.
I love it.
Those are great. Correct. But it's not like I was saying. Right. So I actually have an even more like Hasidish one because I'm from my father, Alav Shalom, was like that. We have an even less Eish Yischaiel me imta. Like totally that. But I know that feeling when I'm there with my wife, you know, and I'm like that deep feeling of your kid, you know what that's like. There's not that you're gonna tell me that I have to bring Hashem into that. Like that is Hashem.
Hey, I'd like to stop and take a moment to tell you about Wig Guru. When I started this podcast, I thought one day I will do some advertisements, hopefully to support the work that is going on here. But when I told my wife, I said the first advertisement I will do, I will give a shout out to your business. My wife is the entrepreneur, a small woman-owned business called Wig Guru. That's wig-guru.com. What she's doing is she has saw issues with wigs. And if you're a man, you might not know this, but if your wife wears a wig, you will. Where wigs slip back and the lace pops up. And she came up with all these innovative ways, including the original Grip-A-Fix, which is actually, it's got a patented hair Velcro that holds the wigs from sliding back. She has 8 or 9 different designs of wig grips. Really, they are customer suggested. She has come up with the most creative ways to do it. She also sells this glue stick called Lace Stick, and it is actually a little bit of glue that you apply, and it keeps it down. Now, I happen to be, from an insider view, watching the amazing amount of comments and suggestions that people are making. People are absolutely loving this. The wig wearing world is loving these products. So go to wig-guru.com and actually you could put in the code BRAINSTORM and get 10% off of any products that you buy. Guys, this is a really good small business to support and the items and stuff she sells are amazing. Enjoy. Back to the program. I want to tell you something. And one of the things is I very rarely hear people talking about marriage and love. I've heard you talk about
talk
it.
Talk about it all Sonny, the time. All day.
And it's so refreshing it. Because I have been tortured by this topic because I can't stop talking about my wife and my relationship. I can't stop.
Correct.
But I'm like, I've been told, my mother used to tell me, stop it. There are people that are struggling. There are people that are single. And I was like, every podcast you go, we'll talk about like working on Shalom Bias. And can we show them a couple of people that it's working?
Like I don't even like saying Shalom Bias. I don't even say Shalom. How about just having a close relationship, learning how to love, learning how to receive love? I have trouble. I don't mind being as vulnerable as I can be on a, I'm not trying to be vulnerable. I'm saying I have, and why don't mind saying this? Because I know a lot of people have it. I have trouble receiving love. I'm very good at giving.
Yeah.
I'm very good at giving. I've worked on the last years, like learning, and it's so ironic because I like give more, you know, Baruch Hashem. Part of that is because I try to heal Yoni, to heal little Yoni, to receive from my wife, to receive from people. And that's hard.
The same exact struggle.
Right. And exactly. That's why. And you know what? A lot of people have that. It's fine. Oh, well, your name's also the same name, sort of.
Right.
Nisan El Yonason.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. A giver. To give.
Found that from a Kabbalist that mine is a very harsh way of saying it. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah?
I thought it was a very giving name. Because my other name is Levy. He said, Levy.
Oh, right. You're Levy. Levy's, right.
I'm not a Levy, but.
No. I'm saying you're Levy. I forgot Levy. That you're in the sign of Levy, right?
Yeah. So I just, that's the peaceful name. Anyway, but
right.
To me, it's like this same idea that we're talking about, like our Sinai, Ishechav, Levichon. Every once in a while, and this happens to me a lot, because I see all the suffering in the world and all the people in pain. And once in a while, I just like scan back and I'm like, holy cow, somebody is doing this world with me. Someone is willing, with all my faults, with all her faults.
Correct.
We perfectly are walking through this adventure together. And like, I like feel like, oh my God, I won the lottery again. It's just like, it's the thing.
And it's not just your wife. It's the people you work with.
Yeah.
It's these conversations. To me, it's very comforting to have we could stop right here. And I'm like comforted in the fact. No, I mean it. It's like, I just said, hey, what's up, Sonny? I see what you're doing. I'm like, it's like, I tell people like, I don't need the validation, Baruch Hashem, but I love the validation. I don't need it. It's not like, okay, I'm waiting for Sonny to validate me, or I'm waiting for this. You know, sometimes when, you know, this rabbi will come to yeshiva and they'll be like, whatever. I'm like, it's great, but like, I'm good. I don't mean that in a ego way.
Yeah.
I just mean that in like, yeah, but it's comforting. It's comforting. And it's very good to say like, yeah, wow. Like, yes, everybody is struggling. Everybody has the same, everyone's going through the same thing. We're all going, I always say that it's hard to hear that because everyone wants to be like unique in what they're going through. And of course, everybody is unique in what they're going through. But it's everyone wants love. Everyone's hurt. Everyone wants a great marriage. Everyone wants to just feel good with Hashem. Everyone wants to heal. Like, everyone wants to see the positive. Like,
yeah. I could tell you, something you're saying is really, I don't like to use the word trigger, but it's triggering this idea that I miss the desperate need for validation. Meaning when I first started in the field, it was like superhero people. Wow, what are you doing with the guys and the guy? And I'm answering phone calls 3 a.m. and I'm like, you know, this guy, just like completely missing my life and myself, like you said, like going into myself, just all out.
Correct.
And I was getting a lot of validation. I think it was, and as I started working on myself, going to therapy and doing work and my own work, now I have to find, it's funny because it's like connecting to this idea. I have to find a want that it didn't start at. Now I have to want to do everything that I do, and it's not a need. It's a fascinating. So you're saying like,
that's great.
I don't want the validation, but it's not bad.
I don't need the validation. I don't need the validation, But I love it. That's newer. Part of the receiving. It is new.
Right.
It's receiving. Listen, I'm a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
So it could also be like it's a stage when you're working on yourself. The biggest internal work that I've done, I've always been doing my own work. But the healing work I've done, the work I've done more before the last 5 years, but I think the dar is a little bit. Now people talk about it, but I'll get to myself. Let me just finish with myself first. Mm-hmm. It's really the same thing. I think that work of acknowledging that I have needs, and I could say like that, you know, the whole world of codependence, you know, that's dangerous. It's dangerous. I tell anyone who is in any type of giving position to be so careful that you must take care of yourself. This I've learned.
Yeah.
Must not only just take care of yourself in a cute way, in a deep, it's a great line. You'll love this. Someone actually needs Shiva. I always love saying the hurt people are hurt people.
Right.
You know, because it's true.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, I don't like that one.
You don't like that? Okay, we'll talk.
I like it, but it also like not all hurt people hurt people.
What
I'm saying is like when you like hurt people, so we're like accusing, yeah, the people who hurt
right.
people.
Like ready for
were hurt.
So let me be machadish. Yeah, ready? Yeah, yeah. Ready? That's true. That's right. True. Meaning where did it start from?
Right.
Hold up. I agree. But I'm saying, wait, sorry. So maybe I didn't understand what you're saying.
No,
you're saying you feel bad for the guy who hurt.
No, I just.
You feel like the bully's also hurt.
Yeah,
okay.
I guess I'm seeing it from a different direction. No, not the bullies also hurt.
Oh, so what were you saying?
I'm seeing from a different direction where they say hurt people. When I'm dealing with a lot of people with the molestation stuff, where and then all of a sudden someone got hurt, and then everybody's on high alert because hurt people. Like now this person's going to hurt people. Majority of people who get hurt do not hurt people, but everybody who hurts.
Okay, so I'm not saying it from
hurt.
That. Right, I'm okay, not saying okay, it from sorry. That. Right, right. I'm just saying. You spill over, we all spill over the hurt.
Right.
Right? So if I'm, right? One of the chidushim I've said on that, it's not a chidush, but hurt people applies to yourself also. Some people, they're hurt and they don't hurt somebody else, but they hurt themselves.
Yeah.
That's also hurt people. The hurt people doesn't have to be somebody outside of me. I could be the person who I'm hurting.
It's really interesting.
Because I'm hurt.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Is that great?
I'm sitting. It's amazing.
Is that great?
I'm going to take a minute. But I'm not going to take a minute. I'm diving in because I thought of something.
Right, go. Yeah, please.
You know, they say the opposite of listening is, the opposite of talking is waiting.
right.
It's
right.
a terrible expression. Right, but right. It's not. You trigger it. You're like, boom, right. boom.
Well, we got a lot to I'm this. Sitting, we could do, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sitting with Divi Bogart. It's my last podcast I did. And she does work with eating disorders. And oh, I wow. said, out of all oh. disorders, that's the one I don't get. I'm like depressed. I got to eat more. I got to I want to comfort myself.
Right.
And they're hurting themselves. They're restricting.
Right.
They're
Correct.
Cutting. They're,
Correct.
And I'm like, I don't understand that. And the truth is, I thought about it afterwards. What are you talking about? Hurt people.
I'm hurting myself
all the time.
And ready for this, Ani? And who do we hurt? We hurt the people who are what? Closest to us. So who's closest to me? Me.
Right. And then we spread out.
Correct. Then your wife. Exactly. But the first person it starts from is from me. Now, why was I saying that? How did we get to there? Ready? One of the guys in Yeshiva, give him a shout out. Also, Yehuda Teichman,
nice. From
Five Towns. Great guy. You know what he said when because we talk about this all day in Yeshiva, all the time in Yeshiva. He said, wait, if that's true, that means healed people heal people. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
So that's now when I say it, that's how I say it. Hurt people, healed people, heal people. And the more I try and heal me, the more I learn to heal me
right.
within that healing. Meaning it's like I'm learning to heal to the whatever part, if you want to get into that world, but I'm healing Yoni, like I'm learning to heal myself. And then that overflows hopefully to my wife and my children and to around, because healed people like will overflow that healing. Like, you know, it's not about, you know,
the healing even without
doing anything.
It's like,
that's the greatest. Just, you know, that's
healing.
You're just correct. You're just a, you know, Rabbi, it's funny, Rabbi Kalish in my, you know, I'm Baruch Hashem, I'm blessed to feel so close with him and to be close with him. Mm. And one of the things that I just get, like, just when I'm around him, and I think a lot of people, I think that's his magic or whatever it is, like, just his existence just heals. The tzaddikim are like that. It's the existence. Like, he doesn't have to do anything. Not that he's not doing incredible things, but it's just his, that's, I think, what it is. When you are the source of healing, then you just walk into, that's why they say, you look at a tzaddik, and you're like, oh, I saw him. I saw many guys, yeah, I saw Rabbi Kalish looked at me like,
oh. Right.
Like you don't have to work hard. You have
I'll
to give,
tell you a story.
You don't have
when
to give that hug.
Bay, when I was in the Bay, way back when.
Yeah.
I'd have a lot of depressed days, if you can believe it or not. But I had a lot of, like, really sad days. And Rabbi Price, I don't know if you know Rabbi Shlomo Price. Do you know Rabbi Shlomo Price?
I remember. Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
So I'd have Rabbi Price. He would sit in the far left in the Beis Medrash. And if I had a bad day, I would force myself to get up. I'd go down to the Beis Medrash and I would just walk in and just look at him for like a minute. And I'm like, okay, I can do my day now. Because he just oozed its wellness.
Correct.
And I just wanted to, like, absorb it. He was.
You want to hear it? First of all, yes, it's so underrated. It's so underrated, more than underrated. We had, I don't want to go into the details so much of the person, but we had a situation. People know about it, where someone was was hurt in a very dangerous way in yeshiva, and he was in the hospital, and the parents were flying in Erev Shabbos, and he was in very bad shape, like sakanas nefashas. And, the parents were going to land. He went into the hospital Thursday night late, and the parents had to get on a late flight, and they were going to land on Shabbos or whatever. It was maybe an hour before Shabbos, whatever it is. I called Rabbi Moshe Weinberger, who I'm very close with. I'm blessed to Mamash Tzaddik Yisod Olam, like Mamash, such a special man. I called him, and this is what he told me. This is a sign, this is crazy. Mamash, what we're talking about. He said, just to have a mother walk in, the boy's unconscious, to walk in and to be in the same room, or to put her hand, let's say even, and touch the child. He's not conscious. Is Pikuach, meaning would you have Hatzalah go drive to you know, resuscitate someone on Shabbos? Of course. What's the Shaila? Just to have a mother walk in the same room as a child is healing. Not from a spiritual heebie-jeebie way.
Right.
Physically healing. So I think coming off of what you're saying, like, we underestimate, like, you know, working so hard to heal. Working so hard to, like, fix somebody, when sometimes just, like, you know,
just being,
if you yourself are, and that's where really it comes back. That's what it comes
after this, we're going to Shlomo Reichman, who's a guy who started the Neighbors. It's just a bunch of guys, no training.
Right.
That love the guys and they take care of them.
Right.
They're just there holding all these guys.
Right.
Just being. Love.
Correct.
It's amazing.
Correct.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I have some questions in mind.
Okay, yeah, please. Great. Okay. You don't have like a list. It's not
even. I don't have it on your list. I will say that I guess the best advice I ever got from a professor was that I should learn everything and then forget it and be with the person you're with. Mm. I mean, when I was learning how to be a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, learn it all. Learn it, you know. So I had some ideas.
Okay.
I jotted down and then I forgot it all. Now,
okay.
I'm just going to have to remember as I go.
Okay, great.
Because now I'm sitting with you. So this is one of the things that I'm really curious about people. Like you were starting in Baltimore, probably similar time to me. I don't know. I was 99. If this is go back.
Yeah, probably.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I remember us being in touch when I brought the guys to you.
right
to our place.
Right,
I remember
right.
going down the
down
basement.
To our place, yeah.
Right down the basement or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Still there, Avenue M. I'm still going.
Incredible.
It's been many, many, many moons.
Incredible.
So it's yeah, a lot of beautiful
almost
people.
30 years ago.
It's really, yeah.
Sorry, not to make, feel, you know, make either of like, us feel like, right, 30 years ago? Like
30 years ago.
What?
Wild. Okay. Have there been things, I'm wondering if there was, has there been surprises or shifts in your way of seeing how people are? Like, what's a, like,
sure.
What are they? What are like, what are the shifts that have changed? Because I have a lot.
Sure.
I'm just, I'm really curious. What do you?
Every year I shift.
Yeah, but I, yeah, okay.
I'm not joking.
But what are the what sure. like? What would you say is like
from the then, thing, or I could even say? I mean, I,
like, what is like a major like? I was doing shift? It one way, and I just what was happening there? Like what was I thinking? I mean, I did everything. I helped people because I was being good, but something just. Clicked or shift. I could give example in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm saying what shifted
I'm listening,
in me
yeah.
is that community is everything. Meaning like,
oh, you're saying
I was
like
doing
that?
A lot
like
of
what?
Personal work, and I was working with people and realizing that everybody is socially homeless. And if I could do all the work
Got
in the
it.
World, but if they don't have a community, like in your yeshiva or in Rabbi Kayla's yeshiva, like a community
right.
of love. Holding right, them like right. this vessel of love that they, and I don't even think that's the answer. It just, the answer can't happen unless you're in that beautiful community that's holding them. So it's not the answer, but the answer is impossible without it. So I could do therapy. I could spend 20 hours a week giving this guy therapy. And if he's walking back and he's alone in his basement, everything I'm doing, it's pitbull. It just flies away. Now, they may get a little bit from me, but you need that big spread. That hit me at some point, and then that's why I shifted to the sober livings, and I, like, shifted. I had a whole prior practice, and I just, like, I was like, I love the work I'm doing, but there's a big gaping hole. Like, there's a community that's missing here that's holding everybody that needs to grow. Like, that was my shock.
Right. I like, now I'm hopping why it's called brainstorm,
because
you're getting me... Oh my gosh, you're getting me wild over here. I don't even know where I'm like, my brain is going so.
It's a storm.
You're getting me.
What people don't have is that the brainstorm not like we're thinking about topics.
No,
our brains are on fire.
Yeah, it's, no, you're getting me. No, you. I just went from like, I just went all over my own world and my world to even.
Right.
I have like, yeah, I don't
you
even know
anything?
What to pick.
You don't even know
I have
what to pick.
So many. Yeah.
Try I'm
trying
one.
To think.
I don't want to.
I should start with
questions.
One.
What do you? Yeah.
I'll tell you what hit. What hit me? What hit? You know what? I'll say two things. Let me say two things. The first thing is, and you're probably not going to like this so much. It's not. It's like how little we have to do with that person who's in recovery, or when I say recovery, I don't mean that from a just recovering.
Right.
From whatever we're helping the person, we have very, like, we could give them like a smorgasbord. We could give them the main dish and dessert. Obviously, I'm saying a metaphor. We could give them a house. You could give them the best therapist. Now I'm getting more deeper into it. You could give them everything. Why did it work with this guy and this guy it didn't work with? That I've seen that's so humbling, because that really... is something that I've seen. I've seen that with my own eyes. You know, investing like everything into this person and investing a little bit of that to that person. And this guy flies and this guy sort of like that. That's a very big thing that like hits me. And I know that like it's not even something that like I learn. Obviously, it's like I know that just like I know I'm sitting here talking
right.
to you. That's one
so
thing
why
that
do you
I learned.
I wouldn't like that. I'm curious.
Not that you wouldn't like it, but it wasn't like, because the second thing is more like a specific thing that I've seen a lot that I could share.
I think something, well, we'll get to the second thing in a second, but I yeah. think in some ways that is part of the realization of the community that I realize is that
oh, wow.
it's I realized that as good as I thought I was, right. and as powerful as right. I thought I was, I'm another yeah, brick right, in the wall. Right, right. Like I am a part, and I can right. hopefully, like, be a part,
right, a facilitator somehow,
but without so much more, right. and you don't even know what's going to click. One of the things in our village that I like to talk about is that I need layers and layers of support. So let's say we have the neighbors, and we have the living room, and we have these are organizations that are totally helping, well. Plus the 12-step meetings. So when a guy comes in, I have 100 different
That's
people
amazing.
Trying
That's
to amazing. Get them That's to understand amazing. That they're special and wonderful.
That's amazing.
Right. But the reason is because I don't know which one of them are going to work.
Nice.
I don't know how much is going to work.
Nice.
I'm literally throwing
like
them the book
I like
at them.
That.
That's what I'm trying. Layers.
Like
people
that.
Say, oh, should they keep the therapist from before? I'm like, do they have a relationship with their therapist? They better stay with their old therapist.
Wow,
like,
wow.
That person already has a relationship?
Wow.
It's like light years
I'm humbled,
ahead of the next
Sonny.
One.
I love it. I love what you're saying.
I love it.
No, I do.
So
I love what you're saying.
It comes from the humility. It was the forced humility. I didn't want to be humble. But when I was looking, I was like, I'm not as good as
I
think I am here. Like, I'm just, I could
right.
be a facilitator
right.
of healing. And I don't even
right.
know. And then guy may not take it. It just might
right,
not work.
Right, exactly.
But I'm going to throw everything. That's what I'm
That's
saying.
Great.
From
I like that. So that is, so that, yeah.
Is
yeah, yeah. That was what gave birth, you're saying, to sort of what
right.
you're.
It's a similar
I love
thought.
That. No, I love that. I guess I get humbled all the time by just I want to continue this thread because I love this. It's like, I also don't know how to define what, I don't know how to define. I don't think anybody knows what success is. I know that sounds like, well, what do you mean? Like, I don't, like, I'm not God. Like,
yeah.
like people suffer. People get divorced. People die. People get abused. People get molested. So what are you going to say? People get, so, you know, what I'm saying with that is like people, one of the kids told me this recently, he's 19 years old, not from yeshiva. And he's like, you know, it's all my fault. You know, this is what he was telling me, not my fault, but his fault. Like terrible parent, got abused as a kid. Blah, blah, blah. And he's gaslighting himself times a billion,
right.
saying like, well, it's all because I got to take responsibility for my life. I'm like, dude, you're 19 years old. You've been beaten. You're in HELL. You're like, I'm like, what do you mean you have to take responsibility? You have to take no responsibility for your life. I'm the number one guy to say, yeah, you got to take responsibility for your life. But you also have to realize like people like, so he's not successful until he gets a job and until he's this. I don't know. Who am I to say?
Yeah.
You want to hear what I'm saying?
Not like only a job. I want to tell you something.
No.
This is very important.
But people don't get it. But people don't. They like say like, oh, wait. So you're saying you're okay with a guy doing drugs? Wait. So no. So yeah, like they don't get it. I'm like, no. Like, I don't know.
So tell me what you think about this.
Yeah.
We have an idea in our village that I train the staff. It's called Shiva House Rules. So the idea is, like, the question I had was, like, what does Judaism say about trauma? How do we deal with a traumatized person? Like, what does it say?
Mm-hmm.
And probably much more knowledgeable people could tell me all the real places. But to me, after a while thinking about it, I realized that the most specific way we deal with traumatized person is during Shiva. They lose somebody in their life. Their entire being is worthless. It's nothing. And I just went through it. So it's like, and we walk over to them. Now imagine someone in the middle of that pain and suffering. And you say, get a job. What are you doing? Why are you sitting
right,
on the
son,
floor?
Love it.
What are you? The message of Shiva is it's not on you. It's on us to heal you as the community.
So, thank you, Hashem, for Sani. Sani, I'm done. That's it. Mashiach. That's it. Mashiach. That's it. You did it. You got it. You cracked the matrix.
Right.
You did it.
I think
that's it.
You think we cracked it. But that's what you're
I know
saying.
You did. That's what you're correct. And there is, by the way. You want a chazal for that, by the way?
Yeah, tell me.
The Gemara, and I'll find the Gemara exactly. I think it's Baba Basra, says that somebody who curses out Hashem, and don't miss every word that I'm saying, whoever, if someone's going to, because of pain, because he's in pain, or whatever he does, whatever, something like that, because of pain, he's good.
That's cool. Okay, a friend of mine.
I don't. If I misquoted that, for anyone who thinks I misquoted that, could be. But you get the point.
I'm going to highlight that because I love it. Because a friend of mine told me when he was in high school, he was getting thrown out because he cursed.
Right.
So he went to the principal's office and he said, "You don't understand. I was angry."
Right.
She was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "If I curse because I'm like
cursing, right.
Then fine,
right?
Exactly. But I was angry.
You know, it's funny.
There was a reason to curse.
You know, it's funny you say that. You know, what's funny you say that.
Yeah.
When guys curse in front of me, when they're in pain, this is gonna sound like weird. I love it. I think it's so beautiful. I think it's so holy. When a guy's like, and then they'll apologize. Sometimes I'm like. And I don't say it because I'm not like a curse. Curse more. Like, yeah, I'm blanking, whatever. Like, I'm in such pain. I'm like I'm going to cry now thinking about it. Like, yeah, dude, you're in pain. You're not in pain. You're in blanking pain. Like, yeah, you're in hell right now. Like, why should I sugarcoat it? Like, guys suffer. I don't know why I'm getting so emotional now. I'm maybe just as a holy setting here. People are in pain. Like, guys, I see it day all the time.
Right.
And what, they're supposed to get there, move on?
Let's go.
But I love this. I love this.
Make your bed.
I almost love what you're saying.
You know, at a point where you're not allowed to even do mitzvahs.
Right.
Stop.
You own it. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to make a bracha.
Yeah, that's in the real deepest part.
What do you mean? That is meis mutal lefanav.
So how many guys we get? Sani,
that's like, no, it's true. We got to find a source for that. I guarantee you. I always tell people this. Just like I quoted that Gemara.
Yeah,
there's a source for what you're saying. I have no doubt in my mind. You're so hitting. Sorry, you're so hitting like the like I always say. You'll like this. I don't like when people say, this is the MS. Know what I say? Because MS, this guy says, oh, well, this is the MS. So this is the MS, right? Know what I say? I try and say things that are true. So no one can argue.
Right.
I'm saying things that are true. I'm saying the truth. Nope, I'm not saying the truth. Because then, oh, it's my truth, it's his truth, it's your truth, it's they have their truth. No, I'm saying something that is true. When there's an 18-year-old kid, when there's a 20-year-old kid who is neglected and who whatever they and it's no one's fault. We're not blaming the father and the mother, and we're not blaming anyone. But the reality was this kid was held hostage. I'm sorry to say it like that, but it's true. There are a lot of kids who are held hostage. I said that with the last year and a half. I said, everything is a sign from Hashem.
Right.
It's not about what's going on in Gaza and the hostages. They're people who are, they're kids. We daven for it in yeshiva all the time. I daven when we sing V'yu Rachamecha. I was telling Miskoyulim that Hashem Shav Rachmanis. They're kids who right now as we speak are being bullied, are being molested, where their father is molesting them, girls and whatever, women are neglecting, the mother's neglecting, whatever. I'm not, there's kids who feel that they're held hostage in their own home, in their own school, as we speak.
Right.
Like there's real pain. Real pain. I'm not trying to paint everything as, and like you're saying, and it's our job. I love what you're saying. It's our job as a community, or someone who has healing, who's older, to be Menachem them.
Right.
So, I love it.
That's what it
it's
is.
It's godless, Sonny.
All right, I knew you'd love that. We actually keep the rules. True. We're like, the guy, no, we have a thing that we have, the the T intervention. I have said it before, but we have a couple different interventions. Where if a guy's lying in bed not moving, so then we take a T to his room.
I love it.
And we sit with him and he say, how you feeling? I also felt terrible. You just sit in the room with
so
the T.
Amazing.
I'm like, that is being Menachem. Like, you're going, you're like, this is what this
no,
is.
No, it's so need. Crazy, by the way. You know the second thing I was gonna say?
I want to hear the second thing.
No, you know why? I just chopped.
Yeah.
Because you segued it.
Let's hear it.
It's crazy. The second thing I was gonna say, Sonny, was that I noticed differently now than it's been, the shift is we really need each other more. The being alone, you can't do it anymore like that. It used to be you could be a little bit more like have your own room or do your own thing and heal on your own. So I'm saying it's funny that that's really what you said,
right?
The community. I didn't chop that that's what it is. Like sharing. Like sharing. Being the like, we had this Friday night once in Yeshiva and I have to get back to it. So I'm saying it actually recording. My guys are going to be happy that I'm actually recording this and saying this and it's real because I said we got to do it and we did not do it. There was a guy in Yeshiva who was going through a real hard time this year, in the beginning of the year. And Friday night, we had an in Shabbos, and we're all sitting around together and singing. And he like broke down next to me. He was sitting next to me and he was crying. And I said, share. And guys like, we're crowded around, we were singing. A lot of times that, you know, that's what we do, Baruch Hashem, like, you know, probably 20, 30, you know, guys just sitting around Friday night, like just that. And I said, well, tell everybody how you're feeling. And the guy started opening up and saying, you know, it wasn't like a heavy, I mean, it actually was. It wasn't like him going deep into his, you know, a therapy, a communal thing. But he was just saying like, I feel inadequate. I feel, and everyone's like, what do you mean, dude? We love you and we this. And we're sitting there like for an hour and guys started sharing, just saying like, and everyone was like, I was like, this is it. This is Mashiach right here. Like, this is it. Yidden sitting Friday night, sharing with each other. And guys say, it's okay, I'm with you. So as you say that, like the guy's in bed and we're just going to sit here and we're just going to hold your hand or we're not even going to say anything.
Right.
We're just going to be there with you. In silence.
Yeah. They get to talk first. That's the halacha of Shiva.
Nice. It's not even that they get to talk first.
They don't have to talk.
You're not supposed to say anything. Yeah. Correct. They have to, and the first 3 days, it says,
yeah.
You're not even supposed to, you can't, there's no conversation. First 3 days. So you could, if you put that into like, and put that into like years.
Right.
For a guy, you say like, okay, this guy's got 3 years where everyone just has to listen to him.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting is that what I've seen from the work I've done with the addiction is that everybody is about a year away from being completely healthy. Like that is what I've seen. Now, I don't know the magic, but it's pretty fascinating
if you do it.
If you were in it for a year,
right.
You're a different human being a year.
I like that.
And I think there's also a connection to our Shiva process and our, you know, being, you know, novel. Like it's a year. Right.
And there's Shloshim.
And there's Shloshim and there's 11 months in a year. Like there's different levels of like you could okay, now we can help you get a job. Now we can help you this. It. Now we get it. So we go along that whole process. I incredible. Think it's the most beautiful thing in the world.
Yeah,
they can't. You can't. We can't do it on our own at all. I am interested because one of the things that I haven't implemented enough is how much you think music. This was not in my questions. How much you think music has to do with our healing?
Oh my! For me personally, music is.
Healing. Are you a musician? I'm sorry.
I'm a musician. I love music.
Oh, okay.
You know. I mean, I don't know. That's like a second.
I know, right.
I just married in.
Married.
And no matter how much of a musician I would be, I mean, I'd still be big shoes to fill.
Yeah, right.
I guess that's for someone who's like a musical person, but I think,
because I see you and Rabbi Kalish both.
Oh my gosh.
You have to.
Yeah. I learned a lot from him and from the chevra that comes from him. I learned from them. I'm an old school. I'm real old school. My father was a Holocaust survivor.
Wow.
I'm old school. I'm a little bit older like that, the whole generation. I'm very old school. The last few years, I've really learned. I give all the credit, and I mean this, I give the credit to the guys. I really do. I learn so much from them. I had this Yom Kippur where the guys, I never had this before. I had this Yom Kippur, and I it was so deep. Every Yom Kippur after davening the night, at night, let's say you finish at 9 o'clock, 8:39. So I do like, I then give a shiur to like the Beis Medrash. And then we have like a question answer and we sit up to like 12, 1 o'clock and we sit around with the guys and they ask, because Yom Kippur is a tough time.
Wow.
And one of the guys, not even one of the guys, the theme this year, ready for this, Ani?
Yeah.
The theme this year, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is heavy. And I didn't say anything. The theme was...
Did they come up with the theme themselves?
Well, no. Meaning guys ask questions. Yeah. This just kept on, it just kept on coming. It never happened before. Ready for this? Why do I have to ask from Hashem forgiveness? He has to ask forgiveness from me. I was like, the first guy who asked that question, I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's a heavy question.
Kind of waiting for the lightning to come.
right, exactly. But you know what, Baruch Hashem?
Right.
I was like, Yoni, hold that. Don't you dare answer that question. Like hold that. Like, I hear. I'm like, I hear. I'm not, and you know what? I hear it, and I still hear it. And ready for this?
Yeah.
Ready for this? I mean, how deep is that, Sonny?
It's amazing.
How
amazing
deep is that? That they could express it.
Yeah.
But what's amazing was I was like, wait. What? I hear that. Meaning I hear that. You're right. Meaning you have a relationship, right? Now it's hard when I did something wrong to you and you're like, you know, Yoni, you hurt me. And I'm like, well, you hurt me.
Right.
Like, okay, wait. Okay. That's, you're right. That's a good, but okay, let me hear you. And then I have what to say. So why can't it like that? So ready for this? Ridiculous. Ready for this? The Kloisenberger Rebbe.
All right.
1945.
He's the one in Netanya?
Kloisenberger Rebbe lost 11 children and his wife in the Holocaust. This is 1945. Ready for this? Delivered in the Fahrenwald DP camp, 1945. Ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Ashamnu. Because this is what the guys were saying. This is what my guy was saying. I'm asking, Ashamnu, I did this wrong. I did this wrong to you, God. Ashamnu. This is a quote. Did we sin? But God knew. This is what the Rebbe said. Were we unfaithful? Were we, God forbid, unfaithful to God and fail to remain loyal to him? Gazalnu, he goes through each one. Did we steal? From whom did we steal in Auschwitz and Muhedorf? Maradnu, we rebelled against whom? We rebelled against you, master of the universe? This vidui, this confession, was not written for us, says the Kloisenberger Rebbe. He concluded, and he closed his machzor.
Wow. Yeah. That gives me chills.
Right?
I think you make me cry in my own pod.
Right? Well, you made me cry before. Right back at you. Criers cry. How would we say it? Yeah, the emotion. But it's true. Because that's something that I've learned about myself. Like, yeah, Yoni, you have hurt. Like, you have hurt. Why can't I be hurt? Like, I was hurt. Doesn't mean that I'm not strong, but I'm hurt. And like, you know, and it's hard to admit that you're hurt. It's hard to admit that, like, you needed love and you might not have gotten that love. Like, it's very, that's a very deep thing to say, like, as a kid, like, you know, great parents, and everyone's a great parent. I'm not a parent basher at all. Not everyone's trying, but like,
I've gotten off the parents' case a little.
Yeah.
I've gotten off their case. Yeah. Because I think most parents I meet are trying their best.
Exactly.
And they hurt people.
Exactly. And they were correct.
I have empathy for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly.
We're just passing it down. But, you know, I've definitely kind of moved out of the parent blame. That was a big change in my career, too. Like, early on, I was going nuts at parents.
Right.
I think,
but then when you become a parent yourself, also,
exactly,
that's sobering a little bit, because it's like, it's harder. I will tell you something
fascinating. It also changed. We're gonna go. This is that I used to listen to people and like try to help them with their problems, and now I listen to people and realize I have all their problems.
Nice,
all their problems. I don't know if that's a long.
I love it. I love it.
But I'm like,
I love it.
Oh, I have that and that.
Correct.
And that.
Correct.
And I don't even want to be here. Like, he doesn't want to be here.
Correct.
Like, it's like we're all...
The Rebbe Remeilich from Lezhensk said, they say about him, they used to give a kvittel, right? Like they do. You write up your paper. I need this, and I'm suffering from this. How about, and they give it to the Rebbe.
Right.
You give it to the tzaddik, and you show it to him. The Rebbe Remeilich, the Noam Elimelech, he said, whenever someone gave that to me, they were giving it to me, saying like, oh, like, this is for you. And he would say, like, I also have this. This is for me.
Right.
Mamish, like you're saying, like, yeah. Like, you're coming to me. Someone just actually told this to me about crazy story. He told me, I'm not going to get tell the person who, can I say the, excuse me, can I say the person? Yeah, probably it's a schwach to him. You know what? No, I can't, no. Because the nuance is better if I don't say it.
Mm.
Someone was telling a rabbi, I just heard this last night. Someone was telling a very chash of a person, and I said, this is why this rabbi is a special person. He was telling him like something that happened with like an insensitivity with a child and an adult, that like a boundary insensitivity. And the rabbi said, oh, you know what? And he heard the person, and then he said to himself, he said, oh, like, you know what? Maybe I should be more sensitive when I give a knip to the guy, to the people in my shul, to the little kids, where I'm, so maybe I have to be a little more sensitive. And I was like, wow, I like that. Because he took, how much I think, this, right, you know, this problem, and he brought it into himself, saying like, maybe I also have that. Maybe I also have to be careful. That's why I said, I learned from the guys. You learn from the people. You listen.
Yeah.
You listen to the guys. You listen to everybody. You listen to the 15-year-old, to the 8-year-old. I said this last night in a shir. I said, I don't like the whole, like, my generation, your generation, blah, 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 blah. We all, no generation's better, worse. We're different. Everybody is really, you know, has different struggles, different stuff. We got to learn from everyone. We got to listen. We have to listen. I said it this week's parasha, actually, by Yishma Yisro. Yisro, listen, and it also says, I don't know why they don't talk about it so much. I'll have to look more mefarshim. It says, by Yishma Moshe lekol chosno. Moshe listened. Yisro listened. The parasha of Kabbalah Satora. The parasha of Kabbalah Satora. You'll like this pshat, and then I want to hear more from you, Sonny. I like you after your... That Shiva thing is a game changer. I said this, Pshat, I said this over many, many times. I was actually blessed to have Eitan Katz came to us last week. And he said over this Pshat that he heard from me like 15 years ago, I was like, and he said it perfectly, how it changed, how it really, it's a Pshat that I was blessed to make up that came to me from Hashem, that it says, Lo Rav, you're going to like this, Lo Rav La Lechem, right? It says, Kine Yamim Bayim. It's going to come Mashiach time. Right? Kine Yamim Bayim Nom Hashem. Vishlachti Rav. There's going to be a famine. Lo Rav Lalechem. Lo Tzom Alamayim. They're not going to be, huh? Kiyim Lishmo. As far as I say like this. Chazal say, Lechem is Torah. Lechu Ichlu Lachmachem. Ein Mayim Ela Torah. That we know, the Gemara says. So Lechem and Mayim mean Torah. Lo Rav Lalechem. Yiddishkeit, Torah. Well, we're not going to be missing any of that. Hine yamim no mayim. Shlachti rav aretz. Lo rav alechem. Lotzam alamayim. We're going to have everything. When you see, Baruch Hashem, Kain Yirbu, and I'm not saying we, yeshivas, Torah, shiurim, art scroll, blah, 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 blah. Lechem and Mayim. But what's going to be missing? Kiyum Lishmoa. To listen. Estvar Hashem. To be someone who can listen to another person. Not to respond. To just listen to the pain. To listen to the voice of Hashem. Because the voice of Hashem is in the pain. That's where he communicates. The voice of Hashem is in the suffering. They say like the meriris and the atzvas, the subtlety of bitterness. Like the Kutzker Rebbe said, there's nothing more whole than a broken heart. The sadness and bitterness is a very subtle, very subtle. Once you're breakthrough and you have someone to really listen to you, kim l'shmo asvar Hashem, someone can really listen to you, that in itself is the healing.
I love that vart.
Is that a great vart?
I love the vart.
That's, yeah.
Absorbing it. I love the vart. I will say that it's a couple of things that I recognize. A couple of things I recognize, and then I realize they're mean to say to people. One of them is, you're already better. That's one of my things. Like, nice. You're already completely whole.
Nice.
The only problem is you haven't stripped down the stuff on top, the shells, that like tell you you're not perfect. You're literally... Right now, you don't even need to do one thing.
Nice.
Right now, you're already good. And I really believe that. I really believe if we saw through the garbage, we would know we're all right. Nice. We're perfect.
Nice.
In ourselves. But I realize it's kind of mean to say as someone who's in the middle of suffering. You're like,
you're fine.
You know? So I've gotten the kickback and someone told me I should say, what are the things that are blocking you from seeing that you're already
better? Nice, right? Nice. Okay.
It's nice. So I'll go with that. Right. But the other
thing. Okay, I like that. Wait, so meaning you were, right, you're already whole and you're like, right, that's a little bit like, what do you mean? I'm not.
What do you mean? No.
Right. So, okay, like good. That. But I like that. But to say it a little bit nicer, right?
Right.
To say
the
it.
The other thing that it's also like, I find it kind of mean is that when a guy is going through something, we know that in our lives and they know. In their lives, that all of our greatness and change in our life started from suffering.
Right.
Like we look back at our life retroactively.
Right.
And we're like, oh, that was really painful, but I came out like that. And that was really painful.
Right.
All the goodness comes.
Right.
But like, how do you say it to someone in the middle?
Correct. Like I agree. That, yeah.
You're in the middle of the,
the
hammer
process. Correct.
I haven't figured out how to say that one right.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. What you're saying is that Hashem.
I've come
in
that second, right?
That.
So I don't, right? But I don't. I didn't mean that. Well, right. I don't pull that on anyone. I'm not like I'm very rare to say like, oh, that's like it's from Hashem. I'll do that after.
No, when we're analyzing,
I'll do that
say,
after. Yeah, I don't. I'm nervous to say that. I'd rather just say, yeah, it stinks and it's terrible and like.
Yeah,
I agree. Like I'm not good like that so much to say like it's from Hashem. I'd rather.
No, I'm saying I've never figured out a way to say that.
I don't think there is a way. Yeah, I don't think so. It's right. But it fits. I'm going back to your you don't tell someone, okay, maybe a big tzaddik. I'm not saying you're not a big tzaddik, but I'm saying sometimes you see by Shiva, you know, they'll say, oh, it's all from Hashem and that, like, sometimes they put, but it's like, no, it's like, I'm with you in your suffering. Like, I'm with you in your suffering.
Are you supposed to say that?
Again, no. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Unless you just don't want to not.
A big rabbi or a big tzaddik can come in and say, of course, it's all, you know, from Hashem, whatever it is. But it's like, it actually fits, I just thought, it fits your pshat. Hamakom yinachem eschem b'soch shara ve'lutzil v'yushalayim. Say Hashem yinachem, the Yasri Kasha. According to you, it's very good. I just have a new chat. You did it?
Same thing. No, I don't know if it's the same
thing. Meaning just...
It's the place that heals you.
Correct. That's what... Right. I just thought about that now because of your chat. It's not Hashem. Meaning, of course, everything...
It is Hashem.
Of course,
Hashem is the place.
That's the... Everything... See, that's where people get nervous. It's like, no. Everything's Hashem. I know that. But don't push... You don't have to push Hashem in the heart. It comes out
of
that.
I
want to
tell you something. It's about me. I've personally... struggled with faith and God and all that stuff. I've had my own personal struggles, and I'm assuming everybody does. But we have a Wednesday night meeting every single Wednesday night in our village, and everybody goes around and they just share. It's like a 12-step meeting, but it's a little different, and it's very community focused. It's very like we're here together, And it could be 40, 50 people because it's like the general community is coming together. And I'm looking and I'm like, I don't know if God exists, but this is God.
Right.
Like the love that's happening right here. This person's suffering. This person's grateful. This person's holding. But we're all sitting through whatever anybody else is going through, giving them the place to do it, saying we love them, support them, and then going to the next person. And it's fascinating because it goes from one person who's had the greatest week, and another person is like literally wants to die. And we're just happy to hear from you. Happy to hear from you. And it's just that.
I think it is.
Is God. So I don't.
I agree.
Is like, it was interesting a couple of Rosh Hashanahs ago. I don't know. And I realized, like, I was, you know, everybody has like a different focus. And I'm like, I realized that my type of Judaism is a Havas Yisrael Judaism. Like, everybody has their, they have their way. And like, I can't be good at all the ways, but I can be great at one way.
Sonny, I think that. So can I just say something?
Yeah.
It's funny. You're more humble than what I'm going to say right now than me. Cause that is Judaism.
That is.
You're saying it's your version. I'm like, that is Judaism. Judaism is the Klal Yisrael is Klal Yisrael. That's our problem. That's why we're in Gullus.
Right.
We're in Gullus. That the Beis HaMikdash, but that's what we want. It's not like there's a, you know, it's like when people say, oh, love-based chinuch. I love when people do that. I'm like,
what?
Love-based chinuch, or something like that. Love-based chinuch. You mean chinuch. You mean,
right.
What does that mean?
What were we doing before?
Well, correct. Judaism, I think that is Judaism. Okay, yes, there's
it could be.
There's your, why are you saying you don't?
No, because everybody's like, you know, maybe I'm not so good at going to daven. Maybe I'm not so, when I daven, maybe I'm not so good at talking to God. Like, I'm not.
Of course.
Switched to a shul.
Yeah.
It's a kabbalah shul.
Yeah.
And because I recognize this about myself, I was like, I could daven. I'm good at meditating, which is finding my inner self.
Right.
But the actual words, it's become different. So I joined a shul that is just love. This is a lot of hugging. It's just a lot of like love. And I just sit sometimes and I just look from one face to the next, like just at every face. I'm like, this is God.
Sonny, my experience, and I can only talk about my experience.
Yeah.
The closer I'm getting to myself and the more self-compassion I'm learning to have for myself, I don't have so much self-compassion. I've better with other people, you know, is easier. Self-compassion,
right,
which has been overflowing even more compassion to other people. The more closer I'm feeling to Hashem, and my davening's different and better, and my ruchnius, and I'm a rabbi. I've been in that world of like God, like my whole life, like Hashem. And I'm thankful for that. I never struggled with like Hashem in that way.
Right.
But the deeper I get to Yoni, and the deeper I get with you know who said this? Rav Baruch Ber, who's like the biggest, like, you know, Rav Baruch Ber, like not Rav Nachman.
Right.
Baruch Ber said, I could find anyone the quote, something like this, not my Yerushalayim and not my Torah will not get me to Olam Haba. It's my love for the Jewish people.
Mm.
Sonny Perlman.
Yeah.
So that's why I say it's not.
I married a descendant of the Redditcher.
Oh, okay.
So I win.
So good. But,
the Redditcher was.
So good, but that's what I'm saying. So, because what people do is they say, oh, that's a Hasidic Shavart. No, Rav Baruch Ber said that. It's not a Hasidic Shavart. It's a Jewish Vart. The Jewish people. It's not Sonny Perlman, who's he loves Jews, he loves this, he's blah blah blah. Yoni Fisher, we're doing this funny thing. Rabbi Kalish is like this guy, people say like this new Mahalach. What's this Mahalach? I say it's not a new Mahalach. It's called Judaism.
Right.
This is called Judaism. Loving another Jew, being a Friday night, the way you're describing that, that's Friday night. That's davening.
Yeah.
Okay. It's hard. It's hard to have. I believe if you took that and you know what? I'm not going to say anything. You're good the way you're good. All good. Exactly.
We have a Tisha B'Av, special Tisha B'Av in our village. Tisha B'Av, we have a big fire that's been on before Yom Tov, like the big bonfire. And around the fire all night.
You just sing.
No. Oh. We share. Do one meeting, and you can talk as long as you want.
Oh, my gosh.
And this past one, we talked about the trauma you experienced in yeshiva. And everybody just held each other through this wild night.
Sure, of course.
And then it comes 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, we had to go to chakras. It's like,
amazing.
It was like a full night
amazing.
Of loving. And to me, amazing. I was like.
It's funny because that's not... It's funny. That's the. It, what's interesting is that Tisha B'Av is the Yom Tov.
Of yeshiva.
No, well, right. It's the time. I always say this about Tisha B'Av, where you're not allowed to be with somebody else, because you know why? Because Geula is to be with somebody else. I'm not trying to say not to.
Yeah.
I know it's, that's not my point. I'm just validating what you're saying. It's like Tisha B'Av, the saddest day on the calendar, the worst day, the most calamity. There's no Avos Yisrael. I'm not allowed to say good morning to you. I'm not allowed to give you a hug. We're not allowed to hang out together. I'm supposed to sit alone. Yeah,
right.
That's destruction. That's darkness. That's Tisha B'Av.
Right. And we sit with each other. It's like another Shiva, but
okay,
it's the same thing. All right, so let me, okay.
We're just this getting started here, right, Sonny?
I know.
So maybe we'll have
to. Okay, can we get a part two?
Maybe we'll do that now. I'm out. We'll have to do it another time. Oh, well, good. It's
okay,
a great
next
excuse.
Time you come in, for sure.
We'll continue, yeah.
Okay, I have a question I ask everybody. Most people don't listen to the end of the pod, so it's a secret. It's a surprise to everybody if they have us. But the question is the rooftop question.
Okay, let's see.
Where are you standing on top of a rooftop, okay, yelling to the world? Something you just want to yell into the wind, like the world should know this. Millions of people listening, and you get to just yell something off the rooftop.
Wow.
What
wow.
is your you, rooftop?
Wow, that's
yell.
That's a heavy one.
It's,
can
it's,
I come back for part two for that one? Can you give me? It's got to be off the cuff.
Well,
brainstorm. My heart storm.
It's got to heart the truth storm. Is I Sonny. Find that people have
heart storm.
20 of them. They have
heart storm. That's heart storm. So I'm gonna answer. Ready? I'm gonna answer the question.
Yeah.
This year we went to with the yeshiva to Kever Rachel on Yud Aleph Chezron, on her yard site. And I don't think I would have done it because it was so busy there. I didn't like process that, like, wait, everyone's going to go to Kever Rachel on the yard site. And because of that, you couldn't stand by the actual thing so long. I didn't know that. There was a whole line. They had a whole... I'm going to answer your question. No.
I'm like,
yeah. There's a whole line to go, you know, they were very organized with it. And then as I get closer to the kever, I'm just like flowing. I was like, a guy's behind me. I saw guys coming through. I don't know what's going to happen. As it was my turn, the guy like says, pushes me and says, go. And they said, you have like 10 seconds, literally at, right? I had this whole thing, like I'm going to daven, Kever Rachel. I have a whole list. Well, I'm daven, Mama Rachel, Kever Rachel on her yard site. And I just had a second. I mean, I ended up davening afterwards. I had a second to touch Kever Rachel. And you know what came out of my mouth? I had a second, Sonny. Rivka Basaraleah. My wife. And I walked out and I was like, that's pretty crazy. Like the deepest thing for me was like, I'm davening for Rivka, my wife. And it taught me something about me. And I knew it because all I talk about all day for my guys know is being a good husband. And that's it. The best thing you could do for your children, my mother always said this, is be a good spouse. People talk about chinuch. I actually made this line up today during because I give I call it Shalom Bayis. I said we're changing the name. Mm-hmm. Baruch Hashem, there are over 100 people. We got today. We got 50 people on this Shalom Bayis. It's 20. It's a 15-minute share Zoom. We do Zoom.
Really?
Ready for the
daily?
Once a week.
Oh, once a week. Okay.
Every Sunday, 7:30 p.m. Israel time. Today, 12:30. I did it on the road. This is the line. Quote two of the day. The chinuch of your children starts with your relationship with your wife.
Mm.
And I'm big in that because every relationship is after that relationship with your wife. That's everything. That to me is everything. And then you want to say how that's Hashem, chasen kala, eshes chayil, they say, is the Torah. Part two, I could talk about marriage and bring rias to, there's no shayla. It's that relationship. That is the relationship.
Right.
That is the relationship. So if you're asked to answer your question, Sonny, I learned, and I told this, I didn't say this, like I actually said it in Lakewood, I said this story over, because I was talking about how the love for your wife is so deep. It's not about, like, obviously you have to love your wife.
I love
it's like,
the first time on my podcast, someone else is talking about their wife more than me.
Right? So well, you got the guy, I talk about, I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
The love is so deep, and it's not about loving your wife externally. Of course, you need the five love languages.
Yeah.
It's about in here. It's about the fact that I was at Kever Rachel and I didn't plan it. I wasn't like, okay, I got to daven for Rivki.
Right.
I daven for my wife. I was like, hostages, Klal Yisrael. I'm like, of course I'm davening for my wife. People who davens for their wife? I'm davening for me. We're in this together.
Right.
The fact that came out, I was like, Yoni, I love you. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah. Like, it's so deep. And so what's my message to everybody? First of all, I'm not a message guy to everybody. My message is, right, like, just to me.
What's your rooftop yell to yourself?
My roof, exactly. That was good. I like that. What's the rooftop yell to me? Because that's really everybody's yell is really to themselves. Is that take care of your wife. Be the best husband. Treat her like a queen. Love her. Get close to her. Have her get close to you. Figure out if you're love avoidant. Or your love addict. What are you? Are you a chaser? You're an acceptor? Whatever. That's part two. Get deep in that relationship. And it takes time. I married Bli Ayin Hara at 30, 31, Bli Ayin Hara. And I've,
wow.
I married the best, but I'm saying it's not the point. It doesn't matter. You can marry. It's about, I don't have to tell you, it's about building that relationship. That's what I would yell from the rooftop. And I don't judge anyone who doesn't have a good marriage or who's divorced or who's single. God forbid.
Right.
I'm saying, I would say, get yourself a spouse, get in there in that relationship and just have the best relationship in the world. And everything will come from there.
I can't believe I even said that. That was amazing.
I can't believe I said that.
That was amazing.
Just like by Kever Rachel. I can't believe that's really what came.
That's what came out.
That's really it.
It's
for me? Okay, sorry.
I have the same thing, but I have a suggestion for
you. Yeah.
I have an expression that I heard, a non-Jewish expression that has hit me every time.
Let me hear.
It's a little, I don't know, it's just that it's a suggestion for your chat or whatever this
is. Yeah, it's a chat. Yeah, yeah.
Ride or die. I've seen it on motorcycles.
Ride
backs.
Or die, right?
Written,
correct.
You know, like in the motorcycle, right, right, the woman's right, on right, the back and the right, man's right, driving. Okay. And it's called a ride or die.
So
that's what you call your spouse. I don't know. It's something on the. I always feel when I think about my wife, I'm like, she's my ride or die. You
nice.
Say someone's your ride or die. This is your person forever.
Right.
That's your ride or die.
Right. I love that.
Anyway, I don't know. That's the expression for ride or die.
I love that.
All right. Someone asked me to ask this question.
Oh, I thought that was like the. Okay, yeah, go. Someone asked you to ask.
No, it wasn't from that.
Okay,
no one asked me good. Don't tell anybody on my chat. They do all right questions, but
let me hear.
Someone said, when you have all these awesome guests on, ask them what's their favorite book, and then we could like have a suggestion of a book. So I'll throw you away. It's not that most important.
I have like a book list on my web. I have a lot of books.
Really?
Sure, of course.
All right, so give me one book, one Gevaldic book that people could read. That would maybe make their change their life.
Right. See, it's hard because it depends what you're.
Many.
It depends. No, it also depends. Like it's like the Brené Brown is for a different stage Like the gifts of imperfection is very different than seven habits of highly effective people.
Right.
And feel the fear and do it anyway. But they're both equal. You can't have one without the other. I don't think you could have one without the other. Meaning it's hard to say because
so the John, B'nai Brown, which
no, you cop what I'm saying? That's the gifts of imperfection. Right. But that's a whole different, that's like about vulnerability and about, but the seven habits of highly effective people is like, that's like yesod should be yesod of just like, just that I would maybe say seven habits of highly effective people.
All right.
I would say if there's one, I don't know if we're doing one book. I say you get both.
Another book that I think is even better.
Who did?
I read it.
Oh, the
Stephen Covey.
He wrote another one. Oh, First Things.
No, First Third Alternative. It is the really? Best marriage book I ever read in my life.
How come I never heard of that?
I'll send it to you if you want.
Third, I'm well, write
it's
it down
the
right
third
now.
Third Alternative is better than anything else you read.
What?
It's amazing.
How come I never heard about that?
I don't know. I didn't hear about it either. I just discovered it.
Third Alternative.
It's called The Third Alternative. And one of the genius things that he has in that book, like a premise of that book, is that marriage is not about compromise.
Correct.
Compromise. Correct. Everybody walks out upset.
Of course.
You have to find the third alternative.
Win-win.
So,
but that's why seven habits, because there's a book, First Things First, which is based on one habit.
Right.
Brene Brown, it's all based on, okay, now I'm getting into
COVID. we break it down, I have like level one, level two, level three. We have in the recovery thing. Level one is the baby stage where we're, well, if he's learning Stephen Covey with depth, it's dependence, independence,
interdependence.
Those
exactly.
are three stages.
Correct.
So these are the three stages. Right. So when you come, let's say, out of rehab, you walk out and you're in the dependence.
Correct. Nice.
So our chiddush is that we don't skip the dependence stage.
Nice.
We say you're dependent.
Love it. Exactly.
That's where you're supposed to be. Right. We're coming to you.
Correct. That's the moving in, Sonny.
Right.
Because if you do the dependent stage well, it naturally
goes
to interdependence.
And now I'm frustrated. When I have a guy say to me, I want a job so bad, I can't even handle any more love. Like, let me go.
Exactly.
I'm like, perfect.
Exactly.
So it goes.
Love
so
it. Sonny, we got to do this. We got to do part three. We like talk the same language, by the way.
Yeah.
But and then interdependence is interdependence. That's the hardest. That's why I talk about that all day.
You want to hear
the marriage? Cop? That's the hardest thing, Sonny.
Because
to be independent is people can connect to that. The interdependence is godless. That's greatness.
That's
you cop what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm a big chusin. I'm like deep in.
So what were we?
Here's the chiddush. I have a very interesting diagram.
Yeah.
We're never going to finish. I know we got to get
I know,
somewhere.
Right?
But I have this great diagram.
It's bad that I looked at the clock. Yeah.
But interdependence is two independent people having a relationship.
Right, right.
Codependence is two dependent people having a relationship.
Correct. Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
And what the chiddush of that is,
right,
is that an independent person does not have a relationship with a dependent person.
Correct.
It falls apart.
Correct.
So when someone says like, he's the problem, she's the problem.
Correct.
Nah, if you're still in a relationship with that person, you're both the problem. You can't say I'm having a codependent relationship,
Sonny,
but I'm
when
the
are you coming
one.
To yeshiva? You come on, we'll do, this is what we talk about this stuff all day.
It's amazing.
This is not all day, but yes, this is it.
Stephen
this is
Kobe
bread and butter.
He's a
not just him. Yeah, he's the shell a little bit of it all.
So I say Stephen Covey is, if you want to learn how to do stage two perfectly,
right?
That's Stephen Covey.
Right, right.
But what I found is like, and this is one of my problems with self-help books in general, is that they all starting at stage two. That means I
Correct.
Have to feel safe
Correct.
Enough
Correct.
To
that's
go
what,
do
right.
that.
That's why I say the Brene, that's why I'm saying you can't give a guy.
You got to go Brene Brown
you
gotta,
first. Because the first habit is be proactive. No, I'm
mean?
Not proactive.
I'm not there.
I'm done.
I'm in my base.
I'm in the Shiva. I'm sitting Shiva.
Yeah.
Meaning I'm in that stage where I'm still mourning. I'm still mourning.
Right.
So why are you telling me to be proactive?
Proactive.
I'm reacting to the death. I'm reacting to trauma right now. So that's why I say you can't give the guy the Stephen Covey, you know, let him, you know.
See, I thought that was the quick question. There's so much longer than that question.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was amazing.
This
was just amazing to have a great conversation with you.
But likewise.
It's just, I'm glad everybody else gets to hear it.
Sonny,
amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for this day that I've been given. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for this chance. Thank you for this chance to live anew.